God of harvest and home, of family and friends, of inner peace and global longing. We give you thanks for all the blessings we know. Now, we won't lie to you, God. We're not always satisfied. There are all kinds of trinkets and toys we'd love to see finding their way into our possession. Any number of parking spaces we'd prefer to pull into right up close to the front entrance of the various places we visit. We get weary of change and begin to wish that things could just stay the cotton-picking same as always. Until we remember that everything we treasure was new to us at some time or another. And we'd hate to miss out on the next new treasures you have in store for us, just beyond our sight. And so we give thanks for all your blessings, even those we haven't yet discerned or learned to appreciate. We give you special thanks this day for the intersection that our lives and ministry have had with Diana through these years, as friend, as co-worker, confidant, helper, pastor, fellow disciple. We ask your blessings on her life and work going forward, trusting that you'll bless us with enduring memories and a continuing abundance of graces. Bless those who are grieving this week, the lives of those large and small. Bless those who are traveling this week with uneventful safety. Those who are welcoming this week with an expansive hospitality. And those who are wanting this week or recovering from devastations beyond their control with the comforting riches of your mercy. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It takes the form of a speech that Moses gives to the Israelites before they cross over into the promised land. And he tells them, when you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. And when the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. And the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders, he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God, and then together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Shall we pray? Loving God, we pray that you will bless our thanksgiving with memories of your faithfulness and generosity. In Christ's name, amen. I know you've been dying to know this, but I finally got the garlic planted this week. And none too soon, as the plummeting temperatures bore witness, but I can definitively say, authoritatively say, that the cloves are in the ground with a little extra nourishment thrown in and covered with straw. Maybe you've done that sort of thing as well. You know, breaking apart the garlic head, separating it into the individual cloves, which are then planted, and presumably, and with a little luck, sometime next summer, each of those single cloves becomes a head of its own. You know, the multiplication is even more dramatic with those beloved tomato seeds. A tiny, unappealing little speck that becomes a bush bearing several, who knows, maybe even dozens of tomatoes of its own, each packed with a universe of equally potent seeds. It is, at least in a perfect world, the horticultural norm, planting seeds that then go on to bear multiplied fruit. There are those televangelists who promote a similar kind of practice in the area of giving that they like to call seed offerings. Now, maybe you have been unfortunate enough to hear them on TV, advising listeners to make a sacrificial offering even of, or especially out of, their poverty, as though planting a seed. One that they would argue will grow and return to the giver multifold. One gives, they assert, in order to get, stepping out on faith according to their spiritual algebra. It's sort of the financial equivalent of breaking a few eggs in order to make an omelet. Well, I would say it makes really important sense in agriculture and business and, for that matter, various other undertakings in which small initial investments mature into meaningful and hopefully plentiful returns. But as the scripture reading this morning bears witness, that's all sort of backwards when it comes to our offerings. With the blessings of God, we give as thanksgiving for what we've already gotten, not as bait for what we would like to receive. It's an act of memory, not desire. We remember what has been harvested. We connect the dots that led there in a way that spells God and offer our gifts of gratitude in a way that then kind of shakes loose the recollection of other older experiences of blessing. Our national leaders have occasionally and historically recognized that same order of things. George Washington in 1789 designated the first National Thanksgiving Day by proclaiming in part, "I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care, protection, and in general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. Less than 100 years later, President Abraham Lincoln doubled down on the idea in the midst of what some might have considered to be the dubious context for a Thanksgiving, busy as we were, intent on killing each other in the Civil War, by proclaiming a similar national Thanksgiving Day to be celebrated on the final Thursday in November of 1863. I want to invite you to hear a little larger portion of Lincoln's proclamation because I think that it's fascinatingly provocative. The year, he says, that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we're prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war, he continues, a war of unequaled magnitude and severity, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe had enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well of iron and coal as the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel, he continues, hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. And so he concludes, it seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart, one voice, by the whole American people. In other words, according to Lincoln, in the midst of all kinds of really terrible goings on, we've been showered with blessing. And he says we ought to pause a moment to acknowledge the wonder of it, comprehend the immensity of it, name our gratitude for it. I think that's pretty amazing discernment and a pretty instructive example, since at any given time, it wouldn't be too much trouble for us to make a pretty colorful list of all the lousy things going on around us. What else, Lincoln makes me wonder, might be going on simultaneously that we ought to be noticing and giving thanks for? That, I think, is the creative discipline of faithful discernment at the core of this holiday season. Thinking about the blessings that have accumulated around us, we pause and give thanks. But the fact is that this idea is way older than Lincoln or Washington or the Pilgrims at Plymouth Rock. As we read earlier from the book of Deuteronomy, Moses set it up that way with the Israelites thousands of years before. Having exodused Egypt after 400 years of slavery, Moses and the people were approaching that land that had been promised them, they believed. They weren't quite there yet. They were still camped out on the wilderness side rather than on the milk and honey side of the river. But the wilderness, Moses knew, was not to be their destiny. Sort of like a church that foresightfully sets up a policy that anticipates being the recipient sometime out in the nondescript future of wills and bequests, Moses prescribes in advance a blessing response policy. The exact opposite, you might have noticed, from give now so that you'll receive later. The people are simply told to expect prosperity, and then when it comes, here's what you do. You take a portion of it, give it back as a thank offering, and as the priest is taking it from your hands, make conscious note, Moses tells them, of the fact that this abundance is not an isolated occurrence. It didn't occur in a vacuum. Recall in the giving all of these larger blessings that you've previously received on whose shoulders this current blessing stands. Remember when, and then he goes on to wax historic. Remember when a wandering Aramean was your ancestor. Remember, in other words, that long history of God's care and blessing that stretches way back before you were even born, and that will extend through you and well beyond your days. Remember when this fruitful garden was just a patch of bare land. Remember when you didn't think you were going to make it through that miserable grief, or that total confusion, or that broken disappointment. Make it through with your selfhood still intact, and yet here you are standing here today as a living, breathing, smiling evidence that with the help of God you did. Remember when, as if to acknowledge that though I may or may not have been aware of it, God's been working in my life for a long, long time. All of which is to say that in this blessing business, God always makes the first move. And that if I practice at it, I just might become more aware of that movement. And so remember as well, when you step out tomorrow or the next year or the next decade in ambiguity or hesitation or timidity towards some great endeavor, all the blessings and tending of God that paved the way for it in the past. Remember when the Lord brought us out of our own Egypts with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and brought us into this place and gave us this land, which, you know, in its own way is flowing with milk and honey. How could we help but bring the first of the fruit of the ground that God has given us? This, we are told, is the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. It's cause for a happy Thanksgiving indeed, isn't it? Shall we pray? Loving God, we have little else to say but thanksgiving and the deepest gratitude for the blessings that far outweigh our traumas. So, thanks.